Here's Mike Buck and Duke Iona on News Radio 830 KHVH.
Well, it's a mystery. It is no longer a mystery. I was going to say, where's the LG? Right here. Like split-second timing. Like Old Faithful, like the geyser.
Like the geyser.
Right, what's up?
All right. Yeah. Pretty good.
Just got off the phone a little while ago with Brandon Morioka talking about this change in the HOV lane. Interesting. That it used to be like that in the first place. And, you know, I guess we just got to keep fooling around with stuff until we find some solutions.
Well, they got some numbers to support what they're doing, and I think it's a great thing. And, of course, things have changed since they implemented this. When they lowered the occupancy rate from 3 to 2 significantly, and that's the gas prices. And so people want immediate relief, and this is the way to do it. I don't know if Brendan talked about the carpool, the van pools,
the van pool
program, but that's something, that's something that I looked at, Mike, when I was, this was about 10 years ago, I believe, or maybe 15 years ago when I looked into it. And it just didn't make sense at that point in time, but the concept was great for me. I mean, as far as,
doing it.
Getting a van, and they paid, they paid for the insurance, they paid for all the maintenance. The only thing that I would be responsible for was the gas, and that was it. And it just didn't work out because I had four of my own children at that time, plus myself. So the payments didn't work out. It's, you pay about, it was about the same price too, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure. Yeah.
And so that'd be like a couple of hundred bucks a month for me. Actually more, it would be like about $225 a month for me to carpool. And it just didn't make out. But now, with prices being what they are, I think the average gas bill for anybody is got to be about $300-$400 a month.
Well, let's take a look at the vehicles now. Big SUVs and trucks in the tank.
Right.
Everybody is squawking. It keeps going up. It didn't show any signs of changing. And yet it is still the vehicle of choice. I mean, we're still going to use that single family vehicle.
Right.
But you're right. And a lot of things changed. As a matter of fact, today, the IRS came up with a thing. They announced today that they're going to increase the optional standard mileage rate from 50.5 cents to 58.5 cents.
That's a lot.
Up it goes.
Yeah.
But the thing I'm concerned about, this story came out today, you probably haven't seen it yet. Meals on Wheels, 20% down in volunteers, because the average volunteer is now paying $300 a month for fuel. And it's really impacted the ability. Now they got this $150,000 fundraiser they're doing, but I think that we're going to see a lot of volunteerism start costing people more money than they can afford.
Well, you're absolutely right. So now we have to engage in alternative modes of transportation, and this is where carpooling comes in, and that's why I believe what's going to happen is you're going to see a tremendous spike in the numbers for this for our zipper lane. And of course, with the I don't know if he shared the numbers with you in regards to the van pool program, but those numbers have gone up significantly in just a couple of years.
Sure.
And so,
well, like you say, it makes a lot more sense.
It makes a lot more sense now, especially if you can get 7 to 12 people in a passenger van.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's kicking in for gas right now, and it'll work out.
Well, I can tell you something. If you take a look at the rising cost, GM announced today up 3.5% with their prices for next year. Now, at a time when they're not selling as many vehicles, they got to put the prices up because their material costs has gone up.
Right.
So that is an average of $1,000 a vehicle.
Right. Right.
So that's what we're looking at.
Right. Absolutely.
Up everything goes. How about this? I can remember when we used to do programs on, parking in downtown's up to about $100 a month now. What planet did you just fall off? That just doesn't happen anymore.
Right. Remember, everybody was complaining about that. Now it's right there.
Okay, listen, you want to talk with the LG? Now would be a great time. Phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, it's toll-free at 1-888-565-8383. And on the subject of the neighbor islands, we need to spend a bit of time on the passing of Mayor Baptiste. I said earlier, Duke, that he was, to me, the most reachable guy. When we needed to talk to a mayor. I mean, Harry Kim on the Big Island's fine, and Charmaine Tavares on Maui is fine. But Baptiste, call his office, boom, they'd find him. And especially during all of that stuff from the Super Fair, he was so communicative. A great friend of the state's gone.
Absolutely. Yeah. As you know, he's a good friend of the administration, a good friend of mine. I mean, we... I'm still kind of in shock about this thing because I know what had happened as far as, you know, his diagnosis went and then the operation and then, of course, his schedule to go home.
He seemed to be in great spirits.
He was, according to the governor, and he was with the governor, you know, the day before, spent the night at the governor's home and had dinner with her, as you probably saw her statement. And she was in shock when she called me yesterday and let me know the bad news. And we're still in shock. Yeah. I mean, it's so sudden. We at the same time, we understand. Brian's a man of faith. And of course, he's in a good place right now, you know, in regards to our faith and what we believe in. But still just a shock to everybody. You're right. He was a great leader. He was a man, as you said, not only was he accessible, but he understood. And Brian was a very, very intelligent man. People sometimes misread him and thought that he wasn't as Akamai as he may have seen.
No, I thought he was on it.
Brian was very much on it. And the thing about it was he's in touch with the people. I mean, that's the bottom line. He was in touch with the people of Kauai. He wasn't somebody who just was aloof and in his own world and just did what he did. So that's the reason why in that 2006 election, he wanted on the first round, and that's just because people liked what he was doing. They liked what his administration was doing. So, you know, our best goes to not only to him and his family, but also to his whole administration, because I know they're in great pain right now.
Yeah, and you know, and that being said, there is a path that, being that that job, the mayoral job, is nonpartisan. Everybody knew that Brian was a Republican,
right?
So it matters, I guess, in the balance. But since you don't bring that R or that D to the job. More people from other parties got along. He got elected by more than Republicans on Kauai, as you know.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yep. That just shows exactly what you just said, how he can work with people. Yep. He's a unifying force, and that's what he was. He, absolutely right about that. I mean, he was on a county council. People respected him, and he got things done.
Yep. Okay, you want to join us? It's easy. 521-8383 is the number. Checking traffic with Jason Yotsuda in a minute. Me and the LG and you, 521-8383. We'll go to Joe first and talk about rail. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to bring up an idea. It's this rail project that the city is pushing. I was just wondering whether instead of doing rail, would it be feasible to run the super ferry from Waianae Coast just to try him out going to Aloha Tower, Kewalo Basin, drop off the Waikiki folks and connect it with the bus system?
Okay, Joe, we'll try to handle that. And obviously that's a private concern with a government concern. Would a vessel, by the way, like the super ferry, even at that high capacity, would it really help? I mean, it can take like, 900 people.
Well, it can take people, but it can only take X amount of cars also.
Sure.
So you're looking, well, it goes both ways. So you take people, you take cars. But how many people would be able to afford it? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So you're looking at an economic factor right there.
Well,
so,
you know what? I think, and you know, we've talked about this before. In Sydney, when you get on the transport, it's good from the ferry boat to the train to the bus to whatever. And I'm not sure that you could get a private concern to come in and say, oh, yeah, for $2 we'll do it.
You just put it. Talking about public or private mode of transportation. And we have a ferry system going on right now. What is it called? The boat?
The boat.
I don't know how that's doing.
Well, they can take, I think, 149 people three times. So 450 people if they were full.
If they were full, 450.
No, it's a test project. We've seen some numbers on it, but we're not 100% sure. If you are a boat rider, call us up and let us know. Right now, it's time for to take a little break. It's 9:15. You're listening to me and the LG. Well, first we'll go to Eric. Before we go to the break, we'll go to Eric on a cell. So you don't have to wait, Eric. Hello.
Hey, hello, Mike and Lieutenant Governor.
Hello,
thanks for
Eric.
Taking my call.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if, and this is maybe a shot in the dark, would the government, especially being one of the largest employers in the state, be willing to at least consider looking at express bus service for state employees as a benefit? And since there's so many state employees that work downtown hub, would that be something that the government would look at to help alleviate traffic? Just a shot in the dark. It maybe seems silly, but... anything, I just think another alternative to rail would be good, and I think by the state taking the bull by the horns with its own employees would be a really good step forward, and I'll be happy to listen to your comments off the air.
Thanks. Well, right now, I know the city has a program, or I shouldn't say a program, but they give discounted bus passes for city employees. Mm-hmm. That I know for sure. I'm not sure what kind of, if that's extended also to state employees, but...
Well, he's really asking about running a
state bus. Well, that, we haven't looked at the economies of scale on that, but that is a concept, and I guess we could look at the cost factor on that, how many state employees would actually want to be a part of that. But I think my solution to that is we're going to move more government buildings to the people, in other words, out to the Leeward Coast, out to Kapolei. And of course, with technology being what it is, I'm sure that, in fact, we already have some workers that work from home, and there's a lot of drawbacks to that also, but that's also a possibility too. But as far as an express bus, that's a possibility, and thank you for the idea. Yep. We'll see what the economy's on that is.
Let's take a break. It's 17 minutes after the hour right now. More of me and the LG and you coming up. Okay, since we're talking about moving people and all of that stuff, remember the thing on the front page of the paper the other day outlining that detour while that work is being done out there? Well, it's a hit.
Sure is.
I meant to talk to Brennan about that, but I didn't because I was too busy congratulating him on the great job done with the sheriffs and the cops finding that copper thief.
Oh, I agree. I agree with that. I think everybody's excited about that, you know, except the guy that got caught.
But
I got it. You know, I live out there. People don't know. I live out in Kapolei, so we've been anticipating this detour for months now because we've been watching it being constructed, and it happened over the weekend, and it was it's very smooth. It's people, first of all, recognize the detour. Second, they've blocked it off by lane markings. In other words, all solid lines,
so people have
to stay within the lanes. And it's really a smooth transition. So my kudos to the Department of Transportation for making it so smooth. And I think it'll work tremendously well. Now they're doing the work on the underpass. And before you know it, that north-south interchange will be in. And it will alleviate a lot of headaches that people are going through right now.
Yeah, so just be patient and show the aloha out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's never easy. Okay. Let's go back to the phones. Don is on a cell phone. Hey, Don.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Lieutenant Governor. I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to a great commentary this morning. It was discussion about rail. I really like the idea of rail, but I really don't like the idea of the cost. But why isn't the state more involved in the driving force behind it rather than the city and county?
It's simple. It is a county issue. Plain and simple. So we our input is very much limited to pretty much on... just seeing what eventually comes out from the planning of this whole process and making comments on that.
Okay, sir, that part I do understand, but my part of that is that are the interstates, H1, H2, H3, aren't they state roads?
Yes, they are.
They're the ones that are experiencing the congestion that this is supposed to relieve. It would seem to me it would be a state issue, but I thank you for listening.
Okay,
you know, now I've actually heard that before. And because of the unique situation on Oahu, we don't have, I mean, it's a gray area between, I mean, we still have, is that a state road or is that a city road every day?
Yes.
But I mean, you know, if one's logic would say, well, the state roads are terrific. So the problem isn't with the state roads. You know, it's once you get on those awful city roads. But that's not the case either.
No, it's not. It's not at all. It may seem like it's irrational, but it's that's the nature of it all. It's like other cities, no different from other cities where they do have transit and becomes a for instance, BART BART's kind of similar in that way. It's not a state transportation system. It's the Bay Area Rapid Transit System, mm-hmm. and so it's that whole, you know, that the whole
actually
region,
it's multiple counties.
Yeah, it's the whole region that takes care of it. So it's likewise here. It's Oahu County. It's Oahu County's project. It could have been a bus service, like the bus. The bus is basically a county function, and likewise with the rail.
The state did facilitate the ability of the counties to charge. To fund it. You know, that was a big consideration because there's other ways. Otherwise, the city would have had to either put up property taxes or whatever.
True. And that was, yeah, that was a initiative that went through a couple of years ago.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Chris is in Manoa next. Hello, Chris.
Hi. I wanted to call in and say aloha and thank you. Maybe the Lieutenant Governor can pass on our thanks for the governor signing a couple of bills which didn't get a lot of airtime or discussion on the radio, but I think will have a major impact on Hawaii families.
What bills were those, Chris? The foster bill, the foster care bills?
Well, actually, one was the bill defining and delineating the best interest criteria, and the other bill had to do with custody evaluators and having the judiciary come out with a report. Something that we've been asking for many years is getting some kind of regulatory environment or feedback process on custody evaluators, so that when you have a custody evaluator that acts badly or acts inappropriately, that there is a process that doesn't cost you tens of thousands of dollars to go back and remediate.
Yeah.
And I know these aren't bills that got a lot of attention, but nonetheless, I think they'll probably save Hawaii families tens of millions of dollars a year.
And I agree with you 100%. Much of the credit of that goes to our foster care coalitions, not the custody, but the other bill that you referred to. So, thank you.
Well, the best interest of the child bill actually was kind of came out of Senator Chen Oakland's task force and the hard work that she's been doing.
She does great work. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for your call. Let's go next, though, while we have time, to Charles in the car. Hello, Charles.
Hey, I've got two questions for Lieutenant Governor.
Yes, sir.
One is, when is the connection from Honolulu Freeway to the H1 westbound going to be repaved before it shakes our teeth out? And the second one is, I wouldn't take too much credit for the state facilitating the city and collecting the tax when they're ripping the city off with the amount that they're taking.
Do you have a question or just to take in a shot there, Chris?
Well, the first one's a question.
Yeah, okay, thanks very much. In answer to the question.
I don't know exactly. We can find out from DOT as to what the schedule on that is. I know they're making their way towards that area, so we'll find that out. And the second comment, I don't think anybody's taking any accolades on that. It was just a statement of fact as to what happened in regards to the excise tax being increased.
I'm real curious about one thing, Charles. When you refer to being ripped off, what exactly do you mean?
The amount that the state is taking far above their costs of collecting it. It would have been so simple to just write a simple, we collected so much, this amount goes to the city, bang, on one check.
Yep, there you go. Yeah, that actually has come up a bunch. Thanks very much for your call. Is there any way that the city could petition the state to evaluate that amount and say, hey, take what you need, but not more than you need?
That's a difficult question for me to respond to, simply because I wasn't involved in that decision as far as how much the increase was going to be. I mean, the city gave an estimate of how much they needed.
I don't mean to the half a percent. I think he's referring to
the collection itself. Well, that was something that. How long do you have, Mike, to talk about that? That was something that we had said that, okay, first and foremost, that the city should be collecting their own tax.
Right.
And the city balked at that. They said they weren't equipped to do it. And neither was the state at that point in time. So we said, okay, it's going to cost you because we have to put in a whole new system because of the intricacies of collecting this tax. Right. So we gave an estimate of what that would cost. Now, the legislators put that amount in, and they made the cutoff point at 10% or whatever it was. And fortunately, it didn't cost as much as it was projected to cost.
Mm-hmm.
So now here we are at a standstill, basically, as to, okay, who gets the money and what needs to be done. And that's something that can be fixed legislatively.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah, take a look at it. Any more than you have to take a look at the recycling bill. Okay, let's go out to our representative, Rita Cabanilla, who's been waiting patiently. Representative, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I just wanted to chime in with that caller that asked what a state is doing about the congestion on the freeways that we have. And while I have the good lieutenant governor there, I just wanted to make a last-ditch effort. If he could ask the governor to release that $200,000 that was appropriated for an initial feasibility study of the underwater tunnel underneath Pearl Harbor. And, you know, she has about 7 days left to release the funds. And I'm pleading to the lieutenant governor that perhaps he could put a bug in the governor to say, hey.
I have one question on that. The number that I heard, what it was, a $10 billion tunnel. Is that true?
Well, the thing about it is that how can they make that speculation when we don't know the portals? We don't know where, how long it's going to be, what kind of technology they're going to use, how deep is the tunnel, because that determines the technology. To make a presumptive amount is really a way to kill the project. Yeah. I don't think it's going to cost $10 billion.
What if it only costs $5 billion?
Well, you know, I think there's a 250,000 people living on the leeward side, so they need to know how much it would cost. You know, what's the feasibility of it?
Okay, let's let the, because I'm late for the news, Representative, let's let the LG address that for you.
Okay, great.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, first of all, if that's the question is, will I ask the governor to release the $200,000? Yeah, sure, I'll ask the governor. We'll discuss that, but I can tell you right now that, you know, we have a financial crisis right now in regards to what we can release and what we can't release, and that's all part of fiscal management. And secondly, in regards to the proposal, this is not a new proposal. I think everybody knows that this proposal has been around for a while right now. And I'm all with you in far as we both live out on the leeward side, and we all want to see traffic relieved as much as possible, but. Is that a viable alternative? I think there's a lot of questions on that. So, but I'll definitely make the request and we'll let it go where it goes.
You know, I love the idea of it. You know, because I was saying that I was in a really neat tunnel in Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And another one in Sydney goes right under the traffic, but it was incredibly expensive. And that's a city of 4 million people, and it was still a problem. Okay, and you got to pay $10 to use it there.
KHVH.
Kind of funny. It's called Planet Earth by Duran Duran or Duran Duran or whatever. Anyway, me and the LG are here at your service. 521-8383 is the number. From the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Just a while ago, we were talking about the zipper lane, and Lieutenant Governor and I were talking about traffic in general. And we both have the same comment. You had to come into town, which you sometimes don't do on the weekend. That's when you're with family.
Very rarely.
But you came in and you said you thought there was an accident or something. What was the traffic?
It was incredible. It's on what you call the surface streets in downtown Honolulu. And it was a Saturday. It was in the morning hours. Yeah, it was about 10 or 11. And it was packed. It was going towards Ala Moana. But mm-hmm. This was the traffic that was going down Kalakaua, I believe it is, prior to, is that Kalakaua when you go on Barataria and you take a left?
You go down. Yeah, exactly.
Is that Kalakaua? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it was stopped. I mean, it wasn't even moving. It was incredible. And so we had to take a side street. We took a side street down by Holiday. Well, it's Don Quixote now.
I can tell you one thing. What you think is a shortcut never is. I know a shortcut. No, you don't. Stay right here on the main road.
Exactly. Yeah. And so then we went. And all I'm saying is there's a lot of traffic in downtown Honolulu right now. And so it's not just limited to the freeway. In fact, on the freeway, every weekend, you'll get a backup to Shafter. You know, that's just normal. It's just normal traffic. So you'll get a backup to Shafter. And so, like I've always said, traffic is relative. What may be traffic to you is not traffic to someone else. And so some people will say, well, there's no traffic on weekends. Well, I think there's traffic on weekends. I say right now there's no traffic on weekdays coming into town.
You're right. After 8 o'clock, it's a piece of cake.
There's no traffic.
But it's like, where do all of these vehicles come from? and where are they going? And I would have thought that the increase in gas prices would be a ghost town on the roads. It's not.
No, it's not. But we do have, believe me, if you look at the numbers, you will see a significant reduction in the amount of gas that's been purchased in the last few months, a significant amount of gas. That means, obviously, people are either, one of two things, Mike, and you know this, they're either driving less or they're being much more efficient in their driving. In other words, taking one trip instead of going back and forth. Mm-hmm. So they take one trip, they plot it out, and they go from store A to store B or whatever they need to do one time, and that's it. So
I got to tell you, the other day I was visiting with my friend Wally Parcells at Bike Factory. And he is moving, as you know, his second store out
right
in your neck of the woods.
Right.
And he told me that so many people are not only coming in, but they're buying bicycles with baskets on them. They're using them for a reason, not just to get exercise, not just to beat traffic, but they're just saying, I'm going to go, when I get home, if I got to go to the grocery store to grab some milk and bread, I'm going to take a bicycle.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
It's about the fuel cost.
It is. You know? It is alternative transportation. I've always said that. So we want those bike lanes in as quickly as possible. No doubt about it.
You know, it seems very difficult. When I do this paid city show on Tuesdays, the amount of change that you got to do in a congested city is so much more difficult than if you get an opportunity to lay a city out.
Right.
Now, you're out where they got an opportunity to lay a city out. And someday, you were just talking to a previous caller. You said that government is going to be moving more of its buildings. The West Oahu campus of UH is going to make a huge difference at tens of thousands of people who don't have to come down anymore.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And in fact, that whole community in Kapolei as well as in Eva, they have a great bike route. I don't know if you've ever been out there, but that main drag on Fort Weaver now has a just a great bike path. In fact, if you want exercise, I would suggest, if you're a biker, I suggest that you take that route sometimes. And as you well know, that bike path was supposed to hook up with the Waipahu route that we have. It's been in for a long time. Was supposed to hook up from Westlock. I think they're going to have to change that route a little.
A little bit.
But when that route hooks up, believe me, that there's going to be no reason why you can't even ride your bike into town from Westlock or Eva or even Kapolei, because it really is a easy flat ride. There's not many hills, if any at all, coming into town from that direction.
I think the first couple of employers that put in a shower area, a locker area, and encourage their people to do that. We're going to go back to the phones right now, but when we come back also, I want to talk about this release today of the Hawaii Habitat for Humanity, because I think that they're making huge strides in what they're getting done. But let's go back to the phones. Sunny is in Kailua next. Hello there.
Hey, LG, I got a question about those bike lanes.
Sure.
Now, living in Kailua and working in Kailua, I try to use my bike as often as I can if I'm not going to have to be hauling five loads of groceries. But I noticed that in a lot of places, we got the bike lane, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's gone.
Yeah.
Are we going to be doing anything about adding extra bike lanes or making a little bit more connection around on the bike lanes or...
That's a good point. The problem is this. There is a master plan for bike lanes throughout the state. And so what's happening right now, and probably what happened for many of those bike lanes, is as they probably were either repaved roads or there were new roads. And if they're new roads, the bike... It's mandated now, at least with the state, that any new road or any new infrastructure that's coming in or any new community that's coming in, they have to have bike lanes in the plans, and they have to be constructed. So probably what happened is maybe that was, and again, here we go into the city-state
thing. I'm talking just basic old-fashioned roads. We have a bike lane that goes up Keolu Drive,
mm-hmm.
and we have one that goes around Kainalu Drive. But neither do the two connect.
Right. And
so
again,
that leaves us up to dealing with traffic.
Right. Right. And I go through the same thing when I come in from Kapolei going to Waipahu. There's a bike lane on a stretch of Farrington Highway, and then there's none, and it kind of evaporates. But that was part of the problem. The thing was planned. The plan didn't. It wasn't a comprehensive plan from the start, and they didn't construct it comprehensively from the start. So that's why you got these fragmented bike lanes out there. But they hopefully, and the plan is that eventually it'll all connect. And when it all connects, then it'll all be one. But You know,
and
it's,
how do
it's
we go
funding,
about getting more connections put in?
It's funding. It's a matter of basically funding. That's the bottom line, because it'll cost a lot of money to put in the bike lanes as planned.
And certainly, I think they also got to untangle more of this city-state stuff as well.
That's another.
We got time for one more before the break. Thank you, Sonny. Let's go next to John downtown. Hey, John.
Yeah. Hi. I just rode that Fort Weaver Road day before yesterday, and that is a suicide alley. There's no bike lane on the, except after you come back up the top of it. There's one on the right hand side, and I went down it to two stoplights, and I tell you, it's suicidal. And I think I would be interested to know what, if anything, the Lingle administration has done over the last 7 years to get bike paths in, either on this island or any other island. Thank you.
Well, I disagree with that. I've been on that path, and it's a great bike path going down Fort Weaver. I don't know what side you're talking about, and that is something that came in through DOT. So,
yeah, John, where are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about Fort Weaver Road. I just rode that thing on Saturday.
What side are you talking about?
I'm talking about going down the hill.
Down what hill?
The fort from the top of Waipahu. When you get to the top of the road in Waipahu, you turn right and go down that hill.
You're talking about from the freeway.
Well, below the freeway.
Oh yeah, that's the old section of Fort Weaver that hasn't been constructed yet. But when you get to the new section that has been constructed, that's a great bike route.
Well, I never got there because I was too afraid after going through about a mile and a half of that terror. I figured, the heck with this, so.
Okay, John. To ride or not to ride? Oh, yeah. Actually, LG and I were talking about that part of the road that guy was talking about. There are a couple of places on the old section, which is really technically not really Fort Weaver Road.
Right, right. And
where it is spooky.
Yeah, it is. I agree with him on that. But, I believe... If I understand him correctly, that section has not been redone or because the Westlock side there is a bikeway. I know there's a bikeway on the Westlock side coming in, and then once you hit the, like I said, past 7-Eleven on Fort Weaver, it's great.
I know that there are really a lot of organized bikers and others that say, why can't we have this buffer of vegetation between the bike lane and the highway? Well, I mean, you only can if you're going to replant something, can't you?
And that's why these new communities, we call these built communities. That's why they're planning these. They're designing it as such so we can have that buffer zone. So we can make it more walkable, more bikeable, and people will get out there and use these alternative means of transportation. But also, as you well know, for physical activity. That's the goal and the intent and the objective of all of this.
One guy at an automotive company who is remaining nameless is putting in a shower facility for his employees that want to ride to work and a locker.
You know, the city has something, the state has, and the legislature has a shower. So I mean, there's no reason why we couldn't ride into town.
Actually, it would be so therapeutic for you physically, but you'd have to maybe once or twice a month come in with clothes. You just stock up the place.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, you know.
No, that's right. You're right.
I love exercise, and I do it regularly. But I can't go from my bicycle to a meeting.
True. No, I agree with that. I totally agree with
that.
Okay,
back out to the phones, 521-8383. We still have a lot of things we're going to cover, but your calls are important. So let's get on it. And by the way, those of you that are calling, Chris, let it ring, because we do get kind of busy, and we will get to you at 521-8383 just as soon as possible. See, right now I'm looking at something that says new caller. So I have no idea who new caller is, but I will give that to you in just 1 second over here. Meanwhile, real quickly, you know, I asked you about this Habitat for Humanity. This is a big, big deal.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are getting taken care of by these people.
Absolutely. They've done tremendous work. And it's, you know what's the greatest thing about this, about Habitat for Humanity, Mike, is that, first of all, you build it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk about the self-satisfaction, I mean, just the satisfaction of it all. I mean, that's one.
Yep.
Secondly, the public gets a chance to get involved in this because they can assist in it. So you have a lot of groups out there, community service work. This is exactly what they do. I've taken part in a couple of these build outs, as they call it. And believe me, it's a great feeling to know.
Yeah, you paint, you do some gardening.
Oh, you do everything.
You carry lumber, whatever.
And you know, so it's like, do you know your home? Yeah, I know my home. I built my home. So I know about electrical. I know about plumbing.
Talk about pride.
You do. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's get back to the phones. They're all lit up. Let's go to Diana first. Hello, Diana.
Hi there.
Hi there. Are you Diana?
Yes, I am.
Well, then what are you waiting for, Diana?
Hi, Lieutenant Governor.
Hi, Diana.
Hi. I had a question for you regarding traffic.
Sure.
I just recently learned, I don't have kids, but I recently learned from some neighbors that public schools charge for the school buses. And I was wondering, would that be a help for our traffic situation if folks weren't taking their kids to school?
Well, it's true. I know there is a charge. I believe that there was an increase, but I'm not quite sure on that. But they do charge. I don't know the numbers on that. I'm not sure how many of our children ride to take the bus. But you need to remember that these are for the locale, the local area. They're not, in other words, it's not for students in Kapolei that go to private school maybe in Honolulu. It's for the students in Kapolei. So are you taking... You're not alleviating the traffic that you really want to alleviate. So it's not targeted for that type of traffic.
Okay, so you're saying I realized that the private schools wouldn't have a bus service, but I thought.
Oh, they do, but it's to pay also. They need to pay. They're not subsidized in any way.
Yeah,
so.
The private schools have buses coming, literally from all over the island,
yeah.
Diana, but the kids have to pay.
The only school that I know of that you have a subsidy to the bus service is Kamehameha Schools. And they have a subsidy. You still have to pay, but the Kamehameha Schools subsidizes much of that cost.
Yeah, all you got to do is put a bus on the road to find out what it costs to run it. Diana, thanks very much for your call. Let's go next to Mark in Eva Beach. Hello.
Hello, Mike. Lieutenant Governor.
Yes, Mark.
You mentioned the bikeway that runs all the way to town from Westlock area.
From Waipahu.
From Waipahu.
Yeah.
That, I think, would be better served as a heavy industrial conduit and that turning things in, give more jobs. I'm more interested in building industry on this side of the island. I think we lack that severely, and we'll pay dearly on a downturn economy when we can't get the tourism we want. I think that whole area should be turned, because it is a right-of-way, I think it should be turned into a heavy industrial conduit and should run everything from heavy rail to electricity to the fuel lines that now exist on it, and move recreation somewhere else.
Well, have you, Mark? Have you? Okay, just a question. Have you ever rode on that bikeway?
Yes, it's heavy industrial right now. It's very industrial. It's very ugly. It's right next to the water. If there's a lot of howl trees around, I think it should be turned into. It's not a place where people go normally. I think it should be used for heavy industries. Unless you know
Mark, for time constraints, I got to interrupt you because this is your pet project, and it comes up often whenever you have the opportunity. You're talking about billions and billions of dollars to spend, right?
Jobs for years, yeah.
Yeah, but billions of dollars to spend. Where's it going to come from? That's my question. Who's going to pay for this?
I don't know if you call it billions of dollars. The right-of-way exists, and the industrial that would be needed to put in there wouldn't interrupt anyone.
Well, Mark, there's other things that need to be displaced. If you were going to turn that into an industrial area, that you're talking about basically a huge area in Pearl Harbor. You're talking about other commercial properties along the way, as well as residential. And this has been there for years now. And I disagree that it's not being used. I mean, that bikeway is packed on not only weekends, but also on weekdays also. So a lot of people use that bikeway. So it serves its purpose. And I don't know if you're talking about the area in Pearl City, when you come off of Waipahu to Pearl City, that's debatable. And again, it is a cost factor, as Mike just pointed out.
Well, actually, this came up, Mark, if you recall, in several of your previous discussions or suggestions on this, as being so cost prohibitive, and it's not as though we are looking for heavy industry on this island.
I think it's needed. Yeah. It's just the third leg of it.
Okay.
Of site.
Mark, thanks very much for your comments. There's not a lot of support for what you're talking about. Rob is in Makakilo. Hello.
Hey, Mike. Aloha.
Same to you.
I'm a big fan of the bike path, but I got a suggestion that, and it came up because I ride to work a couple times a week from Makakilo up to Camp Smith. One time I had to go I had to be at work by 6 a.m., so I left real early. It was real dark. So I have a light. I ran off the path a little bit, I suggest maybe we can get some of those highway reflector lights along the side of the path. That way we, you know, guys like me who have to be at work early sometimes, late other times, we can use the bike path safely.
Well, I don't know about you, LG, but that's a great idea.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yeah,
that would help out a lot. The path could also use a little bit of cleanup and maintenance. There's some spots there that get a lot of overbrush on it, and so maybe a crew goes through and power washes it or something like that. And then a question for you, did the new rail system have some kind of bike path along it?
The new what?
The new
the rail system?
Rail transit plan. Is that any kind of bike lane that guys could just cruise along?
I don't think
path?
So, because the rail system's above ground, so I'm not sure.
The actual, the answer is no, Rob, but they are going to have it bike-friendly, so you can bring your bike with you. But you couldn't ride a bike along that rail route.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I just hadn't heard of that before. But, yeah, we could really use some lights along that. Not lights, but just reflectors. So, you know, the light I had on my bike would be effective on keeping me on the path.
Right.
Well, I like that. Hey, thanks for your call, Rob. By the way, you mentioned something that's near and dear to me. You know that there's a lot of nonprofits and companies that will take it upon themselves to adopt a portion of the highway. You know, we get this bike thing going. I think that smart guys would adopt a mile or two of that, because what he's saying is true. And you know, as a biker yourself, and me as a novice biker, you know, a couple little pebbles here and rocks here and there, if you take your mind off it, you're on the ground.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, that's happening.
And I don't know about you, LG, but I'm getting a little bit too old to be down on the ground. You know? And you know, it unfortunately really takes the fun out of biking if you start getting in trouble.
It does, and that's a great idea. Hawaii Bicycling League, I'm sure, can put something together on this. Yeah,
yeah, adopt a 5-mile portion. Have a bike ride out there and go for it.
Yep. Oh, love it.
Little America going out here. Okay, LG, nice seeing you.
Same here, Mike.
And our best as we continue along.